Tower CEF Mobile.
TV, so that way the tour group can look and see what the glazing sale is doing.
quick and stop on a dime. I don't know how they do it.
Was up at DuPont. We had what we called SGV, signal guided vehicles, that were little robots that lifted the rolls and set them here and done this and carried this. And had a little pass in the floor that they would follow. And you couldn't get there because it didn't know you were there. It would just slap run you over if you wouldn't be paying attention for it. And you're walking around in the dark. So you had to really watch what you was doing when you got around those.
And I seen something like that at R&R Donnelly when I visited there when I was in the fire department. They had, you know, they used a lot of automatic vehicles for logistics delivery. We've never got to that. The only thing we really use automatic vehicles for is, so I've got 20-something of them in my IP carousel where we build the dash, and they move on a track, but they've got all kinds of sensors on them. And every once in a while, they'll use them to deliver some parts to the line, but usually it's like little carts with parts on it. You know, everybody calls them ice cream trucks because they play music while they're driving.
Comment, Kilo with the 4-inch rate whiskey. It's more of a question. Which R&R Donnelly? Is that in Spartanburg or is that another one?
I've been 20 years ago, so it was the one in Spartanburg. I don't even know if R&R Donnelly's still there.
No, they closed. They closed. You work there or you do something else?
I volunteered in the fire department a long time ago, and they brought us in to take a tour because that way we can kind of see what we'd be getting into if anything ever happened. So it was just a pretty neat experience to walk through there and see what all technology they were using. And that was 20-something years ago, so it was really impressive back then.
Well, I was asking, which fire department were you at? Oh, Whitney, yeah. I've been on Mayo for 24 years. I did my firefighter, well, right back in, it was phase 1, 2, and 3 down there in Whitney. Matter of fact, the last classes before they went to the firefighter 1, firefighter 2, Whitney had Mitch Trammell, Phil Starks, all them put it on down there at Whitney.
I remember Phil Stark because he was there when I was there, but I took my firefighter class down at the city because I could get it done really fast and, you know, use their burn building and everything else. So, but yeah, that's pretty funny because I was there when Phil Stark was there.
Yeah, Phil's at the city now. I don't know if he's still with the Whitney or not, but he's at the city.
That was a good one. I know when I got my ham radio license, when I went and took my tech, I went to Drayton. And I think Mike Cromer is still down there as the chief of Drayton Fire Department. I thought that was pretty neat.
He is. He's still chief. As a matter of fact, I guess it's been about 4 months ago. I went to the chief's meeting and I seen him over there. Old Cromer, he's good. He's one of the very few in the county that's the last of the old chiefs. It's just down to earth. It ain't, you know, after trying to get a bump up, he's just stuck.
He was a good one. I enjoyed working up under him whenever I was there as a volunteer. He knew his stuff, and that was what was awesome about him. And he brought his experience from the city there. So, and Sean Petrus, I don't know how he is as a chief, but I knew him whenever he was just, I guess he was a captain, I don't remember, and then working at Pelham at the same time.
Yep. He's still chief. He's been there. I guess he's been the chief as long as I've been in the fire service. Like I said, I've been in the fire for 23, 24 years. If he ain't, he just has become chief right after that.
About right, because it was after I just couldn't do it anymore and work a full-time job, so you know that was when it was time to step away. But yeah, it was fun times. I miss it, but I don't think I would do it again. I mean, just with the wife and kids, and you can get wrapped up. It takes up a lot of time.
It really does, and it ain't like it used to be, man. it's got more political in it now. You know, most of these places, including us, we're doing good. We've had some struggles with the paid versus the volunteer. There's kind of butt heads a lot and all that, but we've overcome that as far as Mayo and stuff. We've got a good crew there now. I ain't gonna lie to you, it was some struggles there for a while trying to separate that and get the people's mindset from paid to volunteer that we're there still to do the same job. We just don't get paid for it. Y'all get paid for it. But like I said, we've come across that. We've done with that. Doing good, but I've been doing it, like I said, 24 years. Worked my way up to assistant chief, and hey, it's a headache sometimes. I've got two kids and work a full-time job, and I don't see how I still have time to do it, but I do.
As long as you can manage it and your family, but yeah, I can understand the volunteer thing. Those days are just about long gone. So, and I was in Wheaton whenever the ambulance was going away, and that was pretty rough, and that really sucked. I used to love driving the ambulance. You know, being the first responder and getting to it, even when they're paid, I did it every once in a while. But yeah, it was good. I do miss it. I don't think you ever fully get away from it, but yeah, it's just not time to do that anymore. But yeah, it's rough nowadays.
You know, the crazy thing is, I had a company I work for. Somebody gets behind or something needs an extra help, they'll send you different places. They sent me to Maryland last year, and I worked in Maryland. All their departments is pretty well volunteer. And I mean, they turn out 30, 40 guys, on a residential, and all of them volunteer. So I don't know what they got going on and what the structure is. I wish I could figure it out. We could structure it down here, but it's too political and all that down here. They don't want to change.
I'm sure it is.
There was a big article wrote up on Facebook one time about the Chiefs and their sandcastles and all that. That's a lot of truth to that, especially in Spartanburg County. There's a lot of Chiefs that got their sandcastle built. They don't want no one playing in the sandbox.
Good analogy for it, too.
Good Chiefs in Spartanburg County. I ain't bashing none of them. Good departments and stuff. But anyway. Well, it's good to know that you used to do that. We may have crossed paths at one time or another. The short time that I was coming in, he was going out.
We did. Like I said, I was definitely there when Phil Stark was there, and I finally gave it up around maybe 2003 or 4. That's when I was really starting to step away from it by then, so. Because I started working at BMW in 99. So, it took a couple of years after that, and I just couldn't do it anymore.
Did you come up to Mayo and the mill burnt? I said, well, we burnt the mill up here at Mayo. Did you come up there to hit play?
I don't know if I either wasn't there or maybe I just didn't respond to that one. I don't remember that.
About Ronnie Burns Ford when it burnt up here at Chesney, the Ford place.
Remember, hey, dang, I don't know now. Shoot, it's been so long, but I don't think I was on any of those.
On the fire department when Whitney and Neil burnt. I don't even know when that burned. I remember it burning, but I don't remember when it burned.
I don't know. And I was in about 5 years and ended up as a lieutenant. And like I said, once I started out here in 99, it just got a little harder to do, so.
Works for me in the fire department. Actually works out there at BMW in the fire department.
We see them here and there whenever we got a call out when somebody, gets sick or think they're having a heart attack or something like that.
I get tickled them and they're talking and they say, yeah, we had us a big one today, a big fire out there. I said, the butt can was on fire out there. We had to go get the water extinguisher and put the butt can out.
That's not surprising in all honesty, because Yeah. I got a smoking area in my area, and it drives me crazy, but yeah, I understand it. Oh, man. Patrick, you still in there? Sorry.
Still here. I'm just sitting here listening. Don't worry about it. KO4HKX.
Kilo 54 Ray Whiskey. Now, I'm sorry about butting in. I just kind of caught my ears there when you said that about the fire department and R&R Donnelly, and started putting two and two together.
It was a fun time. I enjoyed it. It was a long time ago now, though. And I've tossed around the idea many times going back, but it's just, I don't know. I watched a meeting of guys spend way too much time up there, and I just won't do it with the wife and kids.
You live down in Whitney?
I actually live up closer to Lake Bowen, which is New Prospect, right?
Yep. Yeah, I turned 40 this past year, and I don't know, I'm gonna see how my health and stuff does and all that. If I can give it 10 more years, I'll probably resign and maybe run for commissioner. I thought about doing that. That way I can still stay in the fire service. And I always feel like, as far as commissioners and stuff, you need commissioners that's been in the fire service and just ain't, you know, just regular people. That way they know how to run the fire department, know what the fire department needs. So I may look into doing that in about 10 years.
Agree with you there. I definitely agree with you. Hey, Patrick, you still going this weekend?
Yes, sir. That's the plan.
And you're getting up here when the gates open, right?
Yep. I'm planning on being there right at 8 o'clock.
I'm gonna get on out, and I'm gonna head on into work. So I'm gonna say 7:03 to y'all. I just want to confirm that real quick, just to make sure. And that's the plan right now. And it was good talking to you. It was good reminiscing about the fire department. And hopefully I'll holler at you again on the radio. Patrick, you be safe on your way in, or not in the work, but you're driving your work. But you be safe out there on the road. And hopefully I'll holler at you. I might try to get off around 12 or a little after that. I don't think I'm going to hang out very long today. So, anyway, you gentlemen have a good one. KO4CF, and I will be clear on your final.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a good day, and I will keep an ear out for you. KO4HKX. And Damien, I'll be around for a little while.
73s, maybe I catch up every wings. Well, nice talking to you. Have a good Kilo Vic 4 X-ray Whiskey. Patrick, where are you heading today?
Today, I am over here on 123 coming into Easley.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of live up in North Carolina somewhere, Hendersonville or something, huh?
You are correct. I live up just outside of Brevard, in between Brevard and Hendersonville, a little place called Penrose.
I got you. It's your route. You just run South Carolina, or you run something up there, or is it all down here?
It is all down here. I did have a little bit of a route for a few years up in Columbia and John, but they got another distributor for that area and pushed me on down here.
I know a little bit about, you know, stuff like that. I didn't know how the tool truck works, but I got a friend that's in the bread business. You know, when stores comes available, and I might have this all wrong, but don't hold me to it, but I think from what I can gather, like bread truck deal, when stores comes available, they have the option to buy into that route and buy that store or something of it.
That's the way the bread route works, but that's not how we do it. Matco sets your route up with a list of calls is what they call it, and each shop is a call. Well, then you got your head count that's inside that shop. Say there's five guys that work there. Those five techs are counted as one head, or each one's a head count. So you got five there. So you got 325 head counts.
Makes for a long day sometimes, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I got some long days. There's days that I've been out working 9, 10 o'clock at night and starting at 5:30 in the morning.
Bless your heart. I used to do that. When I first started working this company, I did it probably about 9, 10 years. Not all the time, but depending on what was going on, where I was needed. Hey, some days I start at 5 in the morning and I might not get home till 12 or 1 o'clock the next morning. I'd sleep in the truck, you know, and try to catch up, you know, a little bit of time back and forth. But certain stuff goes on different plants. I'm in the trash business. One of the plants is down here in Nestle and Gaffney. If their compactor went down or something, they would run that thing 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So till they got a new compactor, sometimes that thing go down 2 or 3 times a week. But they got to still get the trash out there. If not, the government shut them down, the FDA shut them down. So we'd have to run around the clock, putting it in open tops and then dumping in open tops and taking them out.
Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. That was me. I've been out to at 1 or 2 in the morning delivering toolboxes, just trying to move everything around and get it done. I don't do that much anymore. In fact, I haven't done that in years. So, and I'm glad of it. But there's still some long days out there that I do.
Well, the federal motor carriers, DOT and all that, they crack down on truck drivers and stuff. So it's, if I was over the road, it'd suck. I'd hate it because, you know, you make your money that way. Luckily, I'm at home every night. I get paid by the hour, so it really don't suck. It's actually a blessing. The laws that they got, that I don't have to run that way no more. It's against the law if I do. So my company don't allow all that mess. But I can tell that I'm getting older because I carried a little boy and a little girl out fishing Friday night. We stayed out at 12 o'clock catfishing and on the boat. And little boy wanted to go back Saturday, so we needed to get Saturday and Sunday. It was kicking my butt.
The same way. I'm just a little bit older than you. I'm 47 now, and I can definitely tell I can still do it, but it hurts a lot more when I'm done.
It was crazy how I had it figured out and planned and all that. At one point in time, you know, I guess it's whatever you get used to, and I'm not used to it no more. But man, I stay out all night coon hunting. I used to coon hunt. I stay out 2 or 3 in the morning coon hunting and lay down for 1.5, 2 hours and get up and go to work 10, 11, 12 hours and do it again, and it never bothered me as long as I got that 1.5, 2 hour sleep. If I did that now, it'd take me at least 24 hours to 48 hours to recover of this sleep.
Do that right there with you, Damien. Because my sleep cycle's messed up right now because that week of 4th of July I was off and didn't get up on my regular schedule. And it's messed me up this week.
I know the feeling. We, that week before the 4th and the whole week of the 4th, we was Myrtle Beach. And that first week, it wasn't that bad. I was still in the getting up at the regular time. I guess you'd call it the biological clock. Was still going off of whatever my head. Cause most of the time I get up, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays. I don't have to work. I still get up when I'm supposed to get up to go to work. But you give me a good long week and getting routine and not having to get up, and then another week, and I take 2 weeks for the 4th, and that next week's rough.
That's where I'm at right now. We'll get it. It's getting moving over morning because my timing's off. So, but we'll make it.
I got several friends that work at Michelin. I ain't talked to them in a long time, but they used to swing shifts. I think they still do. And, first shift for a couple weeks, second shift a couple weeks, and then third shift, and back around. I don't see how you do that.
I used to work swing shifts when I worked at DuPont making x-ray film, but we worked 12-hour swings, and you were on nights 7 days a month, and you were on days 7 days a month, and not all at one stretch, three here, four there, back and forth. And when I was younger, I loved it because I had lots of time off, but I don't know that I'd care for that right now.
X-ray whiskey, yeah. back when COVID, I was enjoying that too. Now they, my company, you know, everything kind of got slow. Even the trash business and all that got slow, and we went to 410s. And I'm used to working 511, 512. I thought I was gonna miss that money, but the wife, she started working from home, and you know, as far as gas and her eating out and stuff, she's eating from home and stuff, it kind of balanced out. And I was really enjoying having Mondays off. I had every Monday off from March till probably July or August of that year. And it hurt when I had to go back knowing I didn't have a 3-day week yet.
I'm off on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm working 4 days a week, but mine are usually longer than 10-hour days. Some of them are shorter. It just depends on my day. Since I work for myself, I have a dedicated route, and when I get done with it, I'm done. So it might be a 10-hour day. It might be an 8-hour day.
Actually, I'm just basing it on what I know of someone else, you know, that does something similar. I know bread tools is completely different, but so what do you, if you want to go on vacation, now the guy that I'm friends with, Ray guy, he has to find someone to run his route, or he can't go on vacation because the bread's got to be on the shelves. So what do you have to do? Can you just take a week off and say, hey, I'm not going to be here this week, or how does that work for you?
That's how it works for me. The big thing is getting paid. I don't have any paid vacation since I work for myself. I own my route and all that. If I want to take a week off, I just tell the guys, hey, I'm not coming next week. I'll see you next week and try to get them to schedule their payment so that I can run it on my week off and hope for the best.
He don't have no vacation. He's paid time off and all that. I guess you say he does have paid time off because he finds someone to run the route, and he pays someone to run that route, and he still reaps the benefits of the bread cut, you know, less.
Two, I could find an employee, and I've looked into it, actually considering it right now, that I could say, okay, you run the route this week, I'm going to take this week off, or I can send him out in the truck or her and let them run the route, and I can go take care of other issues that are in the route. It's up to me how I want to do it.
The ticket is, though, especially this day and time, is finding that certain person that fits that you ain't got to worry about them tearing up something, them walking off of something, or anything like that. You got to find somebody good, trustworthy, that's for sure.
But I've already found somebody, and it's just a matter of working out the details for us and seeing if I could financially make it work for me and him.
Well, that's good. Maybe that'll work out for you. Well, look, I hate to cut and run, but I'm pulling in my next stop and fixing the dump out. It's been nice talking to you. It's made my morning pass by pretty fast, and hopefully I'll see you up there in Waynesville also. Be there bright and early too.
I'll be up there bright and early. Look forward to seeing you, and if you've got APRS capability, I'll be running it on my little HT, so just keep an eye on it, and maybe we can bump into one another. This is KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
If I don't change my mind, I'll probably wear one of my fire department shirts, so you can recognize me. I'm a big old boy. You recognize me, I'll say Mayo Fire Department on the back of it. Anyway, have a good one. Kilo Victor 4-H Whiskey.